1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. And as we look at this passage, much of this in your mind you have heard before. Much of this is something that we often talk about here. But it falls right in the context in which we're talking about understanding the spiritual nature of the church. And in the midst of this context, the Apostle Paul gives us an illustration. We like illustrations, don't we? I have learned that my children like illustrations. And this week I kind of did a little mini message with them in our family worship time. And we kind of played out this illustration and talked it through as a family. And again, I encourage you as families, spend time together in the Word. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we read it last week, we'll read it again. We have the illustration of the body. And we haven't really unwrapped this and uncovered all that is in this text, and I will seek to do that today. Really, ultimately, it is not incredibly deep. Again, it's an illustration. Its purpose is to help us understand the church. We read in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So here Paul begins here in this passage, and he begins talking about the body. How many of the Corinthian people understood what the body was, or what a body was? All of them. They all sat there, and all sat there in bodies. And they all understood very well what it meant to have a body. They all understood what it meant to have a healthy body. Invariably, many of them understood what it meant not to have a healthy body. Perhaps they had a wounded hand, or a wounded foot, or a disease, or were blind, or whatever. But they understood this concept of a body. And Paul dives right in, and he opens up, and he says, "The body is one." How many bodies do you have? You have one body. One body, but it hath many members. Think back to your biology class and understanding human anatomy. The body is an incredible, incredible work of God. Yes, it's one, but it has countless different parts that play a very important role. And so the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one. Notice the illustration. Starts with one, goes to many. Then it goes to many, back to one. This is a great memory device used in the scriptures, where they take a concept and make it a sandwich. We have one body, and one body is the bread. And in the middle, many members. What's Paul trying to do? He's trying to use language to help us understand this truth. There's one body, but it's comprised of many members. Now, why do you think he's going to this illustration? What's our context? We have just talked about the manifestation of the Spirit and its diversity. The last time we were together, we talked about the diverse, different gifts that we see in the body as a manifestation of the Spirit. He's also confronting a Corinthian church that didn't really have a good handle on this concept. Remember, as we started this study, there was all kinds of divisions in the body, divisions in this church, and different people exalting others and other men, and it was divided. Well, he starts with this illustration, and he says, "So also is Christ." Christ. Very interesting term, Christ. I know you know it. We see it all throughout the New Testament. What does Christ mean? This is you can answer me. It's the Messiah, anointed one. Interesting word choice here. Body of Christ. So also is Christ. This is a title of Jesus. This is an identity of who he is. This brings to play his nationality, because the Messiah was going to be a Jew. This brings to play the importance of the prophets in the Old Testament and how the prophets introduced this whole idea and concept of a deliverer, of the anointed one that will come, who will be Jewish. So also is Christ. This is pointing back to Jesus, and that this Corinthian church, who was comprised of both Jew and Gentile, slave and free, it's pointing them back to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Again, we see the sandwich, don't we? This begins with one Spirit. And in the midst of it, it talks about the varying people that are comprised of this body. And it ends with one Spirit. You see, this is an emphasis here. One, one, one. Now, this passage of Scripture is very important for us. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Baptism is is really an immersion. And as we think about this, we think about as people become saved and they trust Jesus Christ, they are immersed with the very Spirit of God. In other terms, you could say we are indwelt with the Spirit of God. This is a one-time event that takes place in a believer's life when they are saved. This is that incredible work of God where when we trust that Jesus Christ, he comes and he dwells within us. So we see here that by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Very important truth. It's not many spirits. It's one Spirit. It's one body, not many bodies. And then he goes through and he lists these different groups of people. Jew or Gentile. Why does he do that? Why does he speak of Jew or Gentile? Why does he speak of slave and free? I believe that this church was made up of all those different kinds of people. Different kinds of people, what do I mean? Well, Jew or Gentile speaks of, you could speak of family or nationality or even religion. Religious upbringing. These varying people in the Corinthian church come from varying different nationalities. They could be Jewish or they could be non-Jewish, is basically what it's saying. But as we think about one Spirit and one body, we have all these different nationalities. Something has got to, a point has got to be made. What do we do about our differing nationalities, our differing upbringings and religious backgrounds? We come at this from very differing standpoints. What we're seeing here, that what the church does is it brings all people together, whether they be Jew or Gentile. What about slave or free? Well, that had a big deal. That was a big deal with status. If you were a slave in the days of the Romans, this was a very low place. You didn't have rights. Even if you had a, got out to get together and fellowship with the church, that had to be a privilege you earned from your master. And so you would have these slaves or bondservants, and then you would also have these freemen. Very likely could own slaves and put people to work in their own households. And what Paul says here in this passage is so beautiful. It is so freeing. Because what we see here is that it doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter your status in life. There is one spirit. There is one body. In Christ, there is that unity that spreads across all cultural bounds. We don't have to have a separate church for these kinds of people, or a separate church for this status. No, we're all together. We're all together. We have been all made to drink into one spirit. Certainly that concept of drinking, internalizing, taking within one spirit. Again, one. And verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Again, think about the physical body. Think about that. The body is not one member, but many. So if thy foot shall say, I am not a hand, so I must not be a part of the body. Is it therefore not a part of the body? The answer to that is no. Sure, it's still a part of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. What is he capturing here? What is he communicating? Well, he's communicating that there is no room for exalting one member over others because of certain qualities or gifts. All are an equal part of the body. Remember who he's talking with here, the Corinthian church. And they had troubles. How many times does he say, don't be puffed up? There must not be this consuming focus upon one member or one kind of gift or manifestation of the Spirit. What does that breed? Envy? Jealousy? Covetousness? Pride? All of these things. Let me read on a little bit. This really brings great clarity as we read on. In verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, and where were the hearing? And if the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But verse 18, look what it says there. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Listen, we need to embrace that truth, because if we do not, we are going to be fighting, striving together against one another, because we will be about one person or one thing or ministry, and we will not be content with God's arrangement and God's design. You see, we must trust God because we are His church. Do you find yourself at times discontent with the place where God might have you in the body? Where does that get you? As you sit there and you look around and you are maybe envious, or you're wanting what this other person may have or do or whatever. Where does that get you? It gets you buried under a whole dirt of self, a whole pile of dirt of self. And meanwhile, God may be using you in some incredible ways. And you're missing that. You're missing that. You see, we can get caught up in this whole comparing, exalting, desiring what other people have or do. And it results in nothing but problems and strife. And Paul understands that. That's what's happening in the Corinthian church. And under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he is seeking to address this and help the church to thrive, to be alive, to be a right and good representation of Jesus on this earth. God, verse 18 has got to be a rallying cry. God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him, according to his pleasure. And we as people, as a church, we must be content with God's arrangements, with God's design, with what he does with his people and his church and his time. Verse 19, if they were all one member, where were the body? Well, now what's he saying? Well, if we all think and focus on one thing, you just got a big hand sitting there. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to get around. There, in God's arrangement, is diversity. But now, verse 20, are they many members, but yet one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand. So here we have this whole concept of exalting one over another. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Think about your body. That's the illustration he's using. Think about it. And think about parts of your body that are so very important, but you don't even hardly ever think about them. It's not a care of you or other people that know you. But yet, if that part is hurting, if that part is not well, it bothers your entire being. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. But our, verse 24, comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together. That word tempered is the picture of mixing or uniting together. So God hath mixed or united the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked it. Why? Why? And again, who did the mixing? The pastor? The leadership? You as people? All of us as people? No. God does that mixing. God does that arranging. God does that. Why? Verse 25, that there be no schism in the body. God knows you and me. He knows how we are. He knows how we think. And we can just get so caught up on ourselves, on men, on things of this earth. And so he takes care of this arranging for us. It's not something we are responsible for. It's him. Praise God for that. You can't look at me and fault me for what God's doing, or I can't look at you and it's God's arrangement. God's doing all of those things. Isn't that special and wonderful? that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The same care. That sounds a lot like a passage in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, in fact, I encourage, let's go there because we need to understand this. In Philippians chapter 2, who is Paul talking about? He's talking about Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What are we talking about in 1 Corinthians? We're talking about the body of Christ. And so we ought to have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is looking not out every man for his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Well, verse 26, back 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Do you see the unity there? Do you see the oneness? Rejoice, rejoice. If someone is hurting or suffering, we suffer and hurt with them. There is an intimacy in the body. There is a connection between each and every one of us that we understand one another's joys. We understand one another's sufferings. And that happens in a body as we fellowship. You need to be a part of a fellowship. We cannot operate. Notice here, this is totally against this independent nature of as a Christian, I'm fine by myself. That is not biblical. You cannot operate and be a healthy believer apart from the body of Christ because you are disconnecting yourself from the very organization and living organism that God has given to support you and encourage you and build you up. You know, one of the sad things that often happens is when people begin to hurt, when people get discouraged or depressed, what do they often do? Withdraw. They withdraw. And they won't come out. Listen, we as believers, listen, I'm going to challenge you. If you begin to feel that down, discouraged, and depressed, don't withdraw. Go to the body of Christ. Go. I know that's totally anti-feelings, but we need one another. We need one another. So now, verse 27, now are you the body of Christ, and your members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, no, no. God has designed the body. It is diverse. And he closes with this, but covet earnestly the best gifts in your body, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that way is what? It's charity. It's love. Can you see how love would be so important? Absolutely. It's almost as if it's the glue that holds us together and makes this work. God's love. So here's some questions to consider. Does my actions or attitudes contribute to unity or division? Individuals, members of the body of Christ, do your actions and attitudes, do they contribute to the unity of the body, or are they divisive? Are we consistent in our care for one another, no matter that person's role or place in the church? It's a challenging one. Are we consistent? Do we show the same care one for another? Have I, or am I, are you condescending in your attitude towards others in this church? Or let's flip it around. Am I coveting what somebody else might have or do in this church? Either way you look at it, you're missing the very blessing of God. You see, look to see and fulfill your mission as a believer in reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God will enable you and equip you and has placed you in a body of believers that will help you. And we all are different. And we all bring varying things to the table. And that's what makes the church of Christ, the body of Christ, work. That's what makes it healthy. That's what makes it strong. Listen, view yourself as a vital member of the body of Christ. No matter what part or role you may play, view yourself as vital to the body of Christ, because you are. You are important to the health and vitality of this body. That's your individual responsibility. We as a church, we must not confine ourselves to merely just looking for the gifts and people. Instead, we must look at people as vital members that God has given to this body. Each one is important, and with each one of you comes valuable input, valuable contributions, and manifestation of spirit to the body. Embrace your role in Christ's body. Lord, thank you so much for this time that we have shared together. We praise you and we thank you for your church. We're thankful that you are our head. And we pray that you would carry us and direct us and give us strength for the weeks and years ahead until you come. In Jesus' name, amen.